Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you, Father, for your purposes in our life. We know, Lord, that it is your intent to open the kingdom of God within us, to develop the reality of the kingdom of God in our inward parts, to enable us to enter and function in the kingdom of God, arising, O God, in the reality of the mount of the Lord. So we pray that you will bless us, O God, as members of the body of Christ, so that we will rise, O God, in our hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, to unveil, O God, in the mount of the Lord as a chosen people, as sons of the living God. Each one of us living tabernacles being developed so that your glory will unveil through each one of our lives. We bless you, Father, at this time, Lord. We thank you for what you have done in our lives. We thank you that we are born again. We thank you that we are born of water and the Spirit. We thank you, O Lord, that you have given us the capacity, O God, of being able to function from behind the veil, Father. For as we set our hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, your word declares that our souls are anchored behind the veil. And so, Father, there is an awesome reality of the kingdom of God available to us. We have eyes that see, ears that hear. We have a heart that can perceive, a heart that can receive, a heart that can truly discern, a heart that can enter into the mount of the Lord at the speed of thought. As we learn, O God, to cultivate all things by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. As we learn how to do all things in the name of Jesus. So bless us, O God, at this time, Lord, unveiling your word with us with a clarity that will enable us to know how blessed we are. How awesome it is, O God, to be, O Lord, a living member of the body of Christ. How awesome it is, O God, to be, O God, a prince of your kingdom, Father. So as you bless us, O God, with your word, let your word be opened into us. Let your word fashion into us the realities of the kingdom of God. Let your word describe those realities in the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let your word be unveiled to us in the faith and love of Jesus so that we may keep on rising into the mount of the Lord as his faith and his love is perfected and completed into us by the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit. So Lord, we bless you, Father, and thank you, Lord, for what you are unveiling to us in the fullness of Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Enable us to understand, to receive, to realize, and above all, Father, to be able to express through our lives, through the ministries that you have given us, Father, the wonder of being, O Lord, citizens of your kingdom, the wonder of being sons of the living God, the wonder, O God, of being alive in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit, the wonder, O God, of being unveiled in the heights, O God, as eagles, Father, as sons chosen, O God, to manifest the glory of the Most High God. We ask you to bless us, Father, in the reality and wonder of your word, unveiling the kingdom to us, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we turn to John chapter 3? We are on module 6, part 2, entering the kingdom of God. Let's turn to John chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 5. Verse 3 to verse 5. Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 23, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23, "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding word of God." And module 6 part 1 described the reality of the living and abiding word of God. We are born again in the imperishable seed of the living and abiding word of God. In John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus tells us that we are born of water and the Spirit. John chapter 3, verse 5. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So the imperishable word of God is manifested to us in water and the Spirit. The imperishable word of God is manifested into us by water and the Spirit. Water meaning the word of God, Spirit meaning the Holy Spirit. And the word that unveils in this reality within us is the living and abiding word of God. When the seed of that word was planted into us, we were born again. When the seed of the word that is living and abiding was manifested into us, we were born again. We realized that reality of being born again in water and the Spirit. Let's look at the word water first. All right, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. From verse 25, let's read until verse 27. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 27. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. We want to use verse 26 to tell us something about water. Water unveils through the Rhema word. Water signifies the Rhema of the word, right? The Rhema word. By the washing of water with the Rhema word, right? That's what the Greek word for word there is, Rhema. So God washes us. And in washing us, he opens to us a new reality. All right? Water represents the witness of God. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 24. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 24. I also heard the sound of their wings like the sound of abundant waters as they went, like the voice of the Almighty. As the voice of the Almighty, the sound of abundant waters. The waters that are alive with the abundance of God. The abundance that is communicated in the voice of the Lord, the testimony of God, the witness of God. So God wants to manifest the Rhema word so that his abundance will be given to us, so that his abundance will be made alive to us. And we are to become, in the reality of being born of water and the Spirit, a people who unveil the abundance of God. The abundance that comes as his kingdom is unveiled. All right? Abundance. All right? Let's turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Let's read for context from verse 9. I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet. Verse 15. And his head were like burnished bronze when it has been caused to glow in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. Many waters. And the person he's describing in this vision is called the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And his testimony is many waters. So the voice of the Lord is brought to us. The voice of God is brought to us through the testimony of Jesus, as an abundance, as many waters. And that is the Rhema that we need to understand. Let's turn to John 6:63. John 6:63. And here the Lord Jesus says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The rhema that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Our spirit and our life. The rhema that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. So these rhema words are brought to us by the Holy Spirit. So without the Holy Spirit, the reality of abundant waters cannot be open to us. But the reality of abundant waters are open to us at the point at which we were born again. And God is opening to us an understanding that this reality that was open to us when we were born again, we are called to develop. So in John 3 verse 3, Jesus first says, when you are born again, you see the kingdom of God. In John chapter 3 verse 5, Jesus says, when you are born of water and the Spirit, you also have the ability to enter into the kingdom of God. Seeing the kingdom of God is a reality that opens to you when you are born again, when the seed of the abiding word of God is planted into you. The reality of entering and developing the reality of the kingdom of God is something that comes to you by water and Spirit. It is something that is open to your inward parts. It is something that comes to you by the voice of the Lord manifested to you as abundant waters by the Holy Spirit. So the abundance of God is open to you by the Spirit. So Jesus says in John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The rhema that I have spoken to you are Spirit and are life. And that is so very important for us to know and understand, that what God has opened to us in the reality of being born again is an awesome and humongous reality. A reality of awesome potential. A reality of the abundance of God. And you and I are called to receive and realize and communicate that abundance that God has for us in the name of Jesus. That abundance that God wants us to realize in a total lifestyle by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. So we are born again in order to take hold of the riches of the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God open to us? Let's turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is or there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. The words within you, you find in the New King James Version or in the Old King James translation of the Bible. In the New American Standard, it says, in your midst. For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. The kingdom of God is within you. So what does it say? As a people of God, when we are born again, the kingdom of God opens within us and it also communicates amongst us. It is in the midst of us. And that kingdom of God is a kingdom of abundance. And that kingdom of God is something that we have to come alive to by the Spirit through the Rhema word. Now every reality of the kingdom of God that you take hold of is established inside of you through the living and abiding word. Are you listening? Every reality of the Rhema word of God that is brought to you by the Holy Spirit, when it's established inside of you, it will unveil as the living and abiding word of God. And that living and abiding word of God grows in the reality of the kingdom of God. It unveils to you realities of the kingdom of God. It makes you alive to the kingdom of God. Something that was not possible under the law is open to us in the fulfillment of the law. So we said that being born again is part and parcel of the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Something new has been made manifest to us. Something very personal and intimate has been opened to us. And it has been opened to us on our inward parts. It has made us alive to a reality which we are called to inherit and possess in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit for the glory of God our Father. We are called to unveil this kingdom. We are called to give expression to this kingdom. And our ministries are to be expressions of the kingdom of God. For the gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. It is not the gospel of the planet Earth. It's the gospel of the kingdom. And this is very important for us to understand, that to us has been given a privilege that others do not have. We have received the kingdom of God, and we are asked to unveil it. We are asked to take possession of it from the tablets of our heart. We are asked to understand the kingdom of God. We are asked to enter it. We are asked to function in it. And we can only do that in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit, in realities that are described inside of us as living and abiding realities of the Word of God. The voice of the Lord, unveiled to us by the Holy Spirit, must manifest in us a living and abiding reality. A living and abiding reality is a reality that stands forever. And all of the realities of God that stand forever are part and parcel of the kingdom He has chosen to establish. Are you with me? Right? We must understand this, because prophetically, this kingdom of God is very, very important to us. Prophetically, this kingdom of God was prophesied by the prophet Daniel. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 2. Contextually, Daniel chapter 2 is about a vision that King Nebuchadnezzar had. And in this vision, God unveils the reality of the kingdom of God. And that's what we want to just mention here. Verse 44. Daniel chapter 2 verse 44. And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. Inasmuch as you saw that a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it crushed the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will take place in the future. So the dream is true, and its interpretation is trustworthy. It's very important for us to understand that the reality of this kingdom is eternal. When we talk of salvation, salvation is the reality of eternal life. Salvation is a reality that stands in the kingdom of God. Salvation is a reality that is abiding. And so you see, in the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, God is bringing His word in a reality that is going to be living and abiding within us. And in that living and abiding reality of the word of God, God is asking us to understand and see the things of His kingdom, the things of His abundance. This kingdom is a kingdom of abundance. This kingdom is a kingdom that is meant to reveal the treasures of the Father's heart. And all this has been given to us in the name of Jesus. So we are born again when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now this reality of Jesus Christ being Lord and Savior, we receive through the Rhema word manifested to us by the Holy Spirit. And when we receive Jesus as Lord, the kingdom that He has come to establish is opened into us. And we are now called in the name of Jesus to receive and realize His kingdom, to receive and realize His Lordship. This kingdom is meant to manifest in us as a growing reality of the abundance of God. And we are called to inherit and possess all things in this kingdom. Are you listening? Right? We are called to inherit and possess all things in this kingdom. So water and the Spirit are realities of the kingdom of God. Water and the Spirit open to us a new tomorrow. The realities of water and spirit are meant to be developed inside of us in the living and abiding Word of God. Rhema must become Logos, and the Logos must become a possession within us. It must become a reality that we know and understand and have as a conviction, and we are able to function in that reality. Right? The reality of the Logos Word, right, is indestructible. All right, let's turn to Luke chapter 21. Verse 33. Luke chapter 21 verse 33. Here the Lord Jesus Christ says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Right? In John 6:63, Jesus described his words as spirit and life. Here his words are described as Logos. Right? The Logos of his words. That means the rhema of his words are meant to become the Logos of his words within us. When they become the Logos of his words within us, it is part and parcel of that reality in which we have been born again. The living and abiding Word of God. The living and abiding Logos of God. That's what is written in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. And so you must understand that this reality of the kingdom will not pass away. This reality of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that unveil to us the kingdom of God are indestructible. So Daniel saw that in a vision, that kingdom will be established, it will be abiding, it will be eternal. And there is no force that is going to stop that kingdom from growing. All right, let's turn to Daniel chapter 7. This is another vision. I'm not going to read the whole vision, but I just want to look at verse 13 of Daniel chapter 7. I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. His kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. And that reality of the kingdom is established through the indestructible, or rather the imperishable, Logos Word of God. Right? The living and abiding Word of God. That kingdom stands in the reality of the Son of Man. All right, the Son of Man is the title of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you listening? All right, so it says here, one like a Son of Man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. It's so important for us to understand this. So being born again is to become a citizen of the kingdom of God. That's what we are invited to take hold of. And this citizenship is established through the living and abiding Word of God. And that living and abiding Word of God is brought to us through the Rhema Word that is ministered to us by the Holy Spirit. And God wants us to receive this kingdom through the Rhema word that comes to us by the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. You need to understand that you cannot intellectually enter the kingdom of God. It is the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is something that is birthed of the witness of God. It is something that is birthed in the reality of who God is and all that God is. And that reality of who God is and all that God is manifested to us in Christ Jesus. It is manifested to us through the testimony of Jesus. So when we talk about the water of the Word, the many waters, it comes to us through the testimony of Jesus. And the testimony of Jesus is brought to us by the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it's intended to establish in us the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is established in us in the fulfillment of the law, the fulfillment of the prophets. The kingdom of God is a manifestation of the fulfillment of God's word. Are you listening, brethren? Right? It is so important for us to understand that. So in being born again, God has opened to us a whole new world, a whole new universe. And He's asking us to take hold of it, and He's asking us through our ministries to present that kingdom in the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit, so that others too will come into this kingdom. Others too will become citizens of this kingdom. Now, citizenship in the kingdom of God is something that is unique. It is a citizenship that grows. It's a citizenship that has got rights and privileges that are unveiled to us in a living and growing covenant. And that covenant is to be written into our hearts. So the kingdom of God is unveiled to us as an ascent into the mount of the Lord. That means the kingdom of God, the reality of the kingdom of God, right, is a growing reality. It is an ascent, right? And the ascent goes from plane to plane. It goes higher and higher and higher. And as you ascend into the mount of the Lord, the realities of the kingdom will change. They will grow purer and higher. They will grow with authority, right? They will grow with a greater and deeper understanding. All right? So today we just want to introduce these things, right? How do we enter the kingdom of God? How do we function in that kingdom? And how do we ascend into the mount of the Lord, right? Is this some reality that is beyond us, or is it something that is open to us, right? So you need to understand that when Jesus Christ gave His life for us on the cross, one of the things that happened was that the veil was torn in the temple. And lo and behold, communion with God became a reality to us. And the kingdom of God is all about God. It's about who He is and all that He is. And the reason why the kingdom of God is also depicted in the Old Testament as a mountain of reality is simply because as you grow in God, the reality of God grows higher and higher and higher. When Abraham was blessed, he was blessed by Melchizedek, right? He was blessed by Melchizedek in the reality, right? In the reality of God Most High. Let's turn to Genesis. Genesis chapter 14. Let's read verse 17 and 18. Then after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tenth of all. Very important verse, this verse. Because it tells us that Abram was open to the reality of God Most High. That's a very important name, El Elyon. God Most High. That means that the reality of the greatness of God is open to the people who inherit the blessings that have been given to us, right, through Abram. Right? Are you listening? Okay. Let's just cross-reference to Galatians chapter 3 so that you understand what I'm saying. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to verse 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Right? Through faith in Christ Jesus, you were born again. Right? For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Heirs according to promise. And how do you inherit these promises? Through the word of God. When the word of God becomes living and abiding within you, the promise is yours. And you are called to develop that promise. And God is saying, in the voice of His word, the promises represent a great abundance. Right? when we talked on being born again, we said that God has opened to us a realm of the word that is in accordance with his name. Remember that? Psalm 138 verse 2. We read from the New American Standard that God has glorified his word according to all of his name. And we said, why has God glorified his word according to all of his name? Because his name, the word that is in accordance with his name has been manifested in the testimony of Jesus. That in Jesus Christ rising from the dead, the word of God in the life of a human being was brought into a reality that stands according to who God is and all that God is. And God invested the reality of his glory in the name of Jesus. And he raised him and seated him at his right hand, far above every principality, power, might, and dominion. Remember all that? I'm quoting from different passages of the scripture. But you need to understand that the living and abiding word that has been opened to us in being born again is the living and abiding word that is in accordance with who God is and all that God is, revealed to us in Christ Jesus. Right? Through that word. And that word is a communication of the spirit and life of Jesus, the Rhema word, brought to us by the Holy Spirit, establishing in us a reality that will enable us to ascend into the mount of the Lord, enable us to be a people who belong to God. Are you listening? So God here opens us to a reality in Abraham's life that he blessed Abraham, bringing out bread and wine, right? And then blessing Abraham through Melchizedek, right? In the name of God Most High, right? Mentioning that God Most High is the possessor of heaven and earth. Are you listening? Right? And all of that abundance that God possesses is meant to be revealed. God means to manifest that reality through a kingdom. And that kingdom is established in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you listening? That kingdom is brought to us in the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ, in his merits. So the kingdom is given to him in that vision that we saw in the book of Daniel. The realities of that kingdom is to be manifested in the hearts of those who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Are you listening? Right? Through something called faith. Remember, faith is substance. Substance of what? Hope. Right? So in Jesus Christ, God has opened to us a whole new universe in God. And that new universe is a universe that is described as the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Hello. We celebrate this reality of being blessed in the kingdom of God in our Holy Communion. Let's turn to Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 15 and 16. The Lord Jesus says, and he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. A Passover. What is the Passover celebration all about? The prophetic elements of this Passover celebration are bread and wine. What did Melchizedek bring before Abraham? Bread and wine, right? And in sharing that bread and wine with Abram, what does he say? Blessed is Abram of God Most High. Abram belongs to God Most High, and God Most High is the possessor of heaven and earth. All right? So Abram is open to the reality of being blessed by God Most High. And Jesus now comes and fulfills that reality by opening to us the kingdom of God in a living and growing Passover that is to be manifested within us. So he says, right? So this will be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. It will be a fulfillment that is a living and growing Passover. And this Passover will be fulfilled, he says. Must be fulfilled, right? Will be fulfilled, right? Where will it be fulfilled? Within you. Within me and amongst all of us. Because the kingdom of God is within you, and the kingdom of God is in the midst of us. And that kingdom of God is a kingdom that is established through the word of God. That kingdom stands in the indestructible reality of the word of God. And the reality of that word manifested to us unveils us in a Passover into the mount of the Lord. Are you listening? All right. Let's step back and see this from the cross. All right. When Jesus Christ gave himself up for us, the veil in the temple was torn. Suddenly an intimacy with God was made possible. Why was it made possible? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So what stands behind the veil? What stands behind the veil is the reality of the kingdom of God. Something that under the law and the prophets, people could not realize. They could see it. They could experience it for short periods of time, like Moses going up into the Mount Sinai and being manifested, right? In the seeing the glory of God manifested, right? And being touched by it. But the glory faded, isn't it, when he came down from the mountain. But to us, God is opening to us something in a totally different reality. He's talking now in living and abiding terms. He's now talking in eternal terms. He's talking about things being open to us that will stand forever. And they are going to stand forever because this is a reality that comes from behind the veil. This is a reality that stands in the kingdom of God. And the reality of what stands behind the veil is to be manifested from our inward parts. Are you listening? And they are to be manifested amongst us. We are called to see and understand the realities of the kingdom of God, and we are called to give expression to the kingdom of God. So what stands behind the veil is the kingdom of God, right? What happens? How do we enter into this veil? Very simple. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of what? Melchizedek. Are you listening? Melchizedek. So we have a high priest of the order of Melchizedek. And in his merits, when we set our hope on him, we are open to the reality of all that stands behind the veil. As simple as that. And actually, when we cultivate this hope in him, it anchors our soul entirely behind the veil. So that our soul will be soaked in the reality of the kingdom of God. Are you listening? Praise the Lord. What happens when you are soaked in the reality of the kingdom of God, setting your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ? 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Can you see it? Amen. The seed of the Logos word has been manifested in us. We have received that word and we are called to respond to that word. How do we respond to that word? Through hope. The moment we respond to that word through hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Not hope in a principle, hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, our soul is anchored behind the veil. Right? Because Jesus Christ has opened to us that reality, being the high priest of the order of Melchizedek. And we have a whole new reality to receive and realize. And as we fix our hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are purified even as he is pure. We know how that happens, right? Because hope manifests in substance through faith. Right? Faith is the substance of hope. And because your hope is on the Lord Jesus Christ, the substance is of him, and that substance is pure. and that substance transforms you. And this reality is of the kingdom of God. Are you listening? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. He spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of meal until it was all leavened. So what is the leaven here? The leaven of the reality of the kingdom of God opened to you in the indestructible word. When you take that hope and you manifest it in your spirit, your soul and your body, that hope leavens everything. Are you with me? We know that leaven represents sin, but God also opens that same kind of reality is manifested in opposite way in the kingdom of God. That if you take something of the Lord Jesus Christ, keep it in your heart, unveil it in your spirit, your soul and your body, it will transform your life. Are you listening? And that reality is of the kingdom of God. That reality is of the kingdom of heaven. Are you listening? You can see the same thing in Luke chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. Let's turn to that. Luke chapter 13. Verse 20 and 21. And again he said, to what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of meal until it was all leavened. What do you do with meal? You make bread out of it, right? Can you catch that? Right? So that's how we are open to the kingdom of God. And how that's how we are developed in the kingdom of God, taking hold of the word of God and keeping it in our spirit, soul and body. And the leaven of the word will leaven the whole door. Right? Are you listening? Right? God is telling us of a supernatural reality of power that stands in the word of God. When you receive and realize that word, what happens to you in the parable of the sower? You grow by 30-fold measures, 60-fold measures, and 100-fold measures, correct? Remember the parable of the sower? The sower went out to sow seed. Right? When the seed fell in good soil, it manifested fruitfulness in 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold measures. A phenomenal growth process. And in that phenomenal growth process, a whole new life is open to us. And that life is an expression of the power that stands in the kingdom of God. The power that you and I are called to receive and realize. That power that is to be made manifest to us. That power that has been opened to us in the process of us just being born again. The moment we are born again, we are transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We are taken from the depths of sin and we are opened to the mount of the Lord. We are open to the kingdom of God. We are open to realities that stand behind the veil. The power that we are talking about is resurrection power, because the veil was torn, right, in the power of the cross. Are you listening? Right? And Jesus Christ was raised from the dead in that same power. All right? The power of the cross, the power of his witness that God then vindicated by manifesting a power. Right? A power that will enable us to enter into the kingdom of God. A power that will bring into us a genuine change and a transformation. A power that we first experienced when we were born again. Do you realize that that power will work in you as long as you keep receiving and realizing realities that come to you in water and the spirit? Water is Rhema word, correct? Right? And that power will enable you to change. The reality of the power of the kingdom is open to us when we are born again. We are open to a whole new reality. And we are called, right, to set our hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, because when we set our hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, the power that works in us enables our soul to be anchored behind the veil. Right? Are you listening? Can you imagine how powerful that is? We didn't do anything. We just set our hope on Him. And there is a power that is activated that sets your soul behind the veil. This is a reality of the kingdom. And the kingdom of God exists in resurrection power. The kingdom of God is to be unveiled in resurrection power. It is meant to manifest a new life. It is meant to manifest, all right, in all that comes to us in the name of Jesus, through the Rhema word brought to us by the Holy Spirit. The entire reality of the kingdom of God is described to us in the spirit and life of Jesus. The spirit and life of Jesus is the testimony of Jesus. The entire reality of the kingdom of God is an expression of the word of God explained to you in the spirit and life of Jesus. Communicated to you in the spirit and life of Jesus. How? In actual fulfilled terms. Through what? Through a power that is so powerful that it will actually transform your life. Hello. Haven't our lives been transformed? Right? What did you do to have that life transformed? Hello. Where did the power come from for you to change? Right? Alcoholics have been set free. People stricken with all kinds of sicknesses and diseases and all manner of sins have been set free. Where does that power come from? That's the power of the kingdom. That's the power that stands in the name of Jesus. That's the power that God wants to unveil within us. That's the power that God wants to release in us so that it will open us to that which is beyond all that we ask or even think. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. The power that works within us is the power that unveils in the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is what is open to you. Right? And God gives to us exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or even think, according to the power that works within us. Are you listening? And that power that works within us comes to us through the Rhema word. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. It's talking here about the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the radiance of His glory, the Father's glory. I'm reading from the New American Standard. And the exact representation of His nature. And upholds all things by the Rhema of His power. Upholds all things by the Rhema of His power. So in Christ Jesus, God has a reality that stands in His word. And there is a power that stands invested in that word. And when that word is received by us through the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit, that power is communicated into us. Because the reality of the word that is opened inside of you is living and abiding, that power becomes living and abiding within you. It becomes resident within you. Open, right? And that power is the power that God has given us in the unveiling of the kingdom of God. And that power is meant to give us exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or even think. Listening? Remember, that power works in the word. if you hold true to the word of God and understand it in the way God wants it to be understood, right? God is saying, I will give you exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you ask. And this is a reality of the kingdom of God. This is a reality of the kingdom of God. And it's open to all of us as we set our hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen very carefully to these words. If you can catch this revelation, it will just transform the way you live as a Christian. It will transform the way in which you minister. It will transform the way in which you do all things. That if you can hold on to God's word in the way in which God intended that word to be held, you have alive to you on the insides a potential of just growing and growing and growing and growing. Right? Remember, the word of God has the potential of growing in you in 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold measures. That is beyond the technology of man. That is the technology of God. Now, that technology of God is available to you in the word that stands according to all of his name. The word that unveils to you in the kingdom of God. The word that you are designed to receive, realize from your inward parts the moment you are born again. It is given to you to see, to receive, to understand all of these realities of the kingdom and grow in it so that you will express the kingdom of God through your life. So that you will unveil the testimony of Jesus through your life. Because the kingdom of God stands in the testimony of Jesus. And the testimony of Jesus proclaims a power that will unveil the riches of this kingdom. Are you listening? And all that stands in the kingdom of God is a treasure. All right, let's turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Verse 45 and verse 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. What is God trying to communicate here? That the realities of the kingdom of God are priceless. The realities of the kingdom of God are so valuable. Hello. Are you listening? The realities of the kingdom of God are so valuable that when you really understand the realities of the kingdom of God, you will sell everything else to purchase the kingdom of God. You will give your life for it. Right? Because what you receive from in the kingdom of God is absolutely beyond anything else you can discover for yourself. That's what the Lord is trying to communicate through these two parables. Right? He's just trying to tell you how awesome and wonderful the kingdom of God is. Amen? Praise the Lord. And the realities of this kingdom unveil in tremendous power. Let's turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. And he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil and goes to bed at night and gets up by day. And the seed sprouts up and grows. How? He himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Are you listening? That groweth in the kingdom of God is a supernatural groweth. All you have to do is to learn how to trust God and rest in him. That the work will come out of your life step by step, gradually, but definitely. It will definitely come forth. that you are called to hold that word, right? Like leaven, right? In three pecks of measure, in your spirit, your soul, your body. And what the Lord is saying is that what you hold will come forth. It will bear fruit. It will manifest because it is designed to be performed. Right? The word of God is designed to be performed. It is designed for fulfillment. And you and I are called to discover that fulfillment. To realize that fulfillment through each one of our lives. To unfold that fulfillment through each one of our lives. Through changes in our character and our nature. Through the power that is able to manifest through all that we do in thought, word, and in deed. Hello? Why is Jesus Christ the Lord of the Sabbath? What does the Sabbath represent? Resting in God. Why are you called to rest in God? So that He can manifest His power. Correct? So that He can manifest His glory. So that He can manifest His greatness. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Where is He supposed to be Lord of the Sabbath? In your heart. Why does God say you must learn to rest in Him? Because the kingdom of God cannot be manifested through fleshly efforts. The kingdom of God can only be unveiled through rhema, brought to you by the Holy Spirit. Correct? That's a definitive statement. Right? It can only be manifested to you through rhema, brought to you by the Holy Spirit. You can only receive by setting yourself in a position of submission. You have to hear, you have to understand, you have to accept the word of God. Remember the parable of the soils? What's the first thing? First reality in the word of God. You must understand the word of God. Correct? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. Verse 23. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Right? So you have to understand that word. Correct? Let's turn to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4. Verse 20. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it, and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now he develops the idea. You not only have to understand it, you can only understand it if you accept it. Correct? Right? And you must be willing to bear fruit with it. Correct? Acceptance comes only as you choose to walk in the word that you have understood. Are you listening? Acceptance only comes as you choose to walk in the word that you have received with understanding. Are you listening? All right, let's carry on. Let's look at the book of Luke. Luke chapter 8. Verse 15. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. And the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast, and bear fruit with perseverance. Alright? So there is a tremendous reality of the kingdom of God open to us. How is that reality of the kingdom of God open to you? Through the Rhema word that is communicated into you by the Holy Spirit, so as to become the living and abiding Word of God in your heart. And that living and abiding Word of God, you must understand, you must accept it, and you must hold it in a good and honest heart. And you must persevere with it, And God will perform that word with a power, right? With a power that will enable you to grow in 30, 60-fold, and 100-fold measures. Are you listening? So you have to rest in this reality, right? You have to rest in this reality. It will be a challenge because you have a witness called your flesh. And the witness called your flesh will always stand against the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is of the spirit, and the kingdom of the world is of the flesh. Right? Let's turn to Romans chapter 8 to understand that. Romans chapter 8. Let's read from verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What are the things of the Spirit? The kingdom of God. Realities of the kingdom of God. Alright? For the mind set on the flesh is death, verse 6. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. What is your Sabbath? Peace. Right? What is your salvation all about? Life. Correct? So when you are born again, you are opened into a reality of unveiling what God has done for you. Right? Salvation is something God has accomplished for you. He has accomplished it for you in the faith and love of Jesus for your life. And as he manifests the word of God through the spirit and life of Jesus, he's going to communicate the faith and love of Jesus into you. And in the faith and love of Jesus, there will be a brand new life for you. And that life will unveil in a growing peace. And that peace testifies to the power of God that you have actually realized. Praise the Lord. So let's look at verse 6 again. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace, because the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. Correct? That's why it is condemned by the law. Correct? When you try to live the law in your flesh, what happens? You are condemned by it, right? It tells you you are a sinner. It tells you that the wages of sin is death. So, it condemns you to death. But when you are open to the reality of the kingdom of God brought to you through the word by the Spirit, you are open to all that Jesus has done for you. You are open to what God has established for you in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. And that power sets you free. That power enables you to grow supernaturally. Alright? So it says here, because the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. But the kingdom of God, which is open to you in the reality of being born again, is a kingdom that is unveiled in the fulfillment of the law. Can you see that? It is fulfilled in the faith and love of Jesus. Amen. And the faith and love of Jesus are an expression of the righteousness of God. Amen. So everything that unveils to you in the kingdom of God unveils to you in the reality of the testimony of Jesus, which says, I have saved you. I have saved you because I have manifested a faith and a love that will transform your life. All you have to do is to trust me. All you have to do is to set your hope on me, and the power that was released in my being raised from the dead will be manifested into your life, and you will be changed. Your flesh, of course, will fight that. Right? Your flesh will, of course, fight that. And when there is this fight, you are in yourself traumatized. Correct? Correct? You are traumatized. It's a battle of faith. It's a battle of realities. A reality of the kingdom of the world that says that all that you touch and feel is real. And the kingdom of the Lord your God that is unveiled from your heart through the spirit and life of Jesus, that is manifested to you in a power that transforms you. So you have experienced the kingdom of God. You have actually seen genuine changes in your life. That is of the kingdom of God. But you also know your flesh. You also know how your flesh can stand in the way and lead you somewhere else too. Right? And that witness of the flesh is real. Correct? But it's a witness of death. Right? So sometimes you can take a walk and come back after 5 years. You have wasted 5 years and you have learned a lesson the hard way. Right? Okay. Verse 8. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, he does not belong to him. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Amen. Praise the Lord. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells you. Alright? It's a totally different reality. So when we talk about things of the Spirit, we are talking about realities of the kingdom of God. Realities of the kingdom of God that stand in the name of Jesus. That stand in the testimony of Jesus. Amen. I hope you hear these words again and listen and understand what is being said here. There's an awesome reality in the Word of God that is being opened to you today. You need to receive and realize what stands in the kingdom of God and understand that the things of the kingdom of God can only be opened to you through the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. And everything that is in the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit comes to you through the Word of God, not by emotional experiences. Through the Word of God. God has to define His kingdom. He has to define the character of His kingdom. Right? He has to define the parameters of His kingdom. He can't just simply let you go and do whatever you feel like doing, especially when your carnal nature is so powerful. Right? And your carnal nature can mislead everything that God brings inside of you. So the Word of God is the leaven that the woman found and hid in her spirit, her soul, and her body. And the leaven of the bread, of the Word, when it's manifested inside of you, it leavens the whole of your being. Amen. Praise the Lord. So in this unveiling of the kingdom of God, there stands an enormous power that you must receive and realize. And most importantly, you must learn how to communicate it through the ministry that God wants to develop in your life. So learn how to enter the kingdom of God and learn how to function from it. All right? All you have to do is to set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I just want to leave with you another verse so that you will understand this in a little bit more complete manner. We talked about the mount of the Lord. And the mount of the Lord is open to you from your heart. Let's turn to Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Now the Hebrew word for hill and the Hebrew word for mount that you find in Genesis chapter 22, verse 14 is the same word. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. Very important. How do you have a pure heart? By setting your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. Correct? Hello. How do you have a pure heart? By setting your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he who sets his hope on the Lord Jesus Christ purifies himself just as he is pure. 1 John chapter 3 verse 3. So can we all have pure hearts? Yes. All we have to do is set our hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as long as that word that mentions that is held in your heart and you know it, what will happen? The leaven of the word will leaven your whole being, and you will come to realize it, correct? You will have a pure heart, right? And that pure heart can ascend into the hill of the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. And in the hill of the Lord, different realities of the kingdom open, correct? It's a Passover reality, correct? So you pass over from one level to the next level to the next level forever and forever and forever. Because God is the Most High God. But in the prophetic dimensions of bread and life, of bread and wine, God opens to you what? The substance of the Master's fullness. And wine represents blood and life. Correct? A newness of life. And in that reality, you can ascend into the hill of the Lord forever. Correct? In the substance of the Master's fullness manifested to you as you set your hope on Him, you are pure, you are made pure, even as He is pure. Putulta. And as you are made pure, you unveil a life, right? That is totally different. And that life will open to you as you ascend into the hill of the Lord. At different levels, a different realm of life opens to you. And this is eternal life. And this life keeps growing. This is a Passover. So Jesus said, I go to suffer, so that this Passover will be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. That where is the kingdom of God? It is within you. It is amongst us. Correct? And we will all ascend into the mount of the Lord in the reality of being one body as we build each other in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you that we are born by the water and the Spirit, so as to enter the kingdom of God, so as to receive and realize the realities of the kingdom of God, and by the Spirit in Jesus' name, be able to give expression to the kingdom of God. Our hearts are designed to receive, to realize, and to give expression to the treasures of the kingdom. So Father, your kingdom is a treasure, and you have invited us to take hold of this treasure with all of our heart, to invest our whole heart in the kingdom of God, by setting our hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, by allowing the Holy Spirit to unveil the treasures of His fullness into us, so that we will manifest the abundance that you have designed to unveil in Christ Jesus. So as we begin to understand the awesome treasures of the kingdom, we begin to appreciate the fact that we are born again. We begin to appreciate how valuable, how important our ministries are to the lives of people. Because once someone is open to the kingdom of God, he is blessed in all eternity. So we thank you, Lord, for giving us the privilege of manifesting a kingdom through the ministries that you have given us. Enable us to always remember and understand that this kingdom only stands in the name of Jesus. This kingdom is not a set of principles. It is not the law redefined. It is not just a talk about fulfilling realities, Father. It is something that is entirely tied to the Lord Jesus Christ. He must be the Lord of the Sabbath in our hearts. We must rest in all that He has done for us. We must understand that the righteousness of God is invested in the faith and love of Jesus. And in the faith and love of Jesus realized within us by the Holy Spirit, the realities of the kingdom will open to us in resurrection power. So we give you glory and honor, worship and praise as we bow before you, thanking you for what you have released today by your Spirit in Jesus' name. We give you all the glory, Father. We thank you with gratitude in our hearts. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will make this revelation alive in us in the Lord Jesus Christ. That He will reign in this revelation. And we will understand that this revelation does not exist outside of His Lordship. This revelation does not exist, O God, through mere anointings, Lord. It is entirely something that stands in the stature of the Beloved who is our Lord and our Master. The Beloved who is to be our husband, O Lord. So as we focus our lives on Him, as we focus our heart on Him, Holy Spirit, we ask you to enable us to realize all that the Father has ordained in the Son, so that we will be a blessing to the nations in Jesus' name. Amen.